read Revelation chapter 15 and verse number 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. I'd like to speak on the subject, let us sing. God's people have always been a singing people, a rejoicing people. Even though we can't always sing, we want to make a joyful noise, and we have a song in our hearts. We have something to sing about, something to testify about. And as I said not many weeks ago, there's something distinctly Christian about singing. I have heard many times of atheists who specifically requested no singing at their funerals, because singing has always been associated with Christianity. The world has no song to sing. And they sing a song, but it's a very sad song. It's very depressing, very hopeless. God's people are not the only ones who have a song to sing. The heavenly host also sings, that innumerable company of angels in heaven. They've never stopped praising God since the moment they were created, and they never will. I want to consider three songs in the Bible, three occasions when there was an outburst of joy and holy gladness and song. And first is the creation of the world. Job 38 says that when God laid the foundations of the earth, the angels sang together. They shouted with a great shout. I'm not sure what day they were created on, but they were here when God laid the foundations of the earth. And what a sight it must have been as they saw God do some of His creative work. What else could you do when you saw God perform a miracle of creation but sing and shout? And that's what they did. And I can't wait to get to talk to the angels. What about you? We'll say more about that in a moment. But the angelic choir responded with song when God laid the foundations of the earth. They ascribe greatness to the Creator God. They know nothing about God's forgiveness. Angels know nothing about God's grace, that is, as far as experiencing it. But they do know the power of God, the wisdom of God. They do know that God is the great Creator. God did make everything out of nothing. He did do that just 6,000 years ago, and He did do it all in six literal 24-hour days. I know we accept that without even thinking about it, but there are multitudes of so-called Christians who don't believe that. They believe in theistic evolution, or they believe in millions of years, or they think those days were long periods of time. Other false notions. God made everything 6,000 years ago, and He did it all in six literal 24-hour days, just like He said He did, and just like it says in the Ten Commandments also. So that was an interesting song. I don't know the words to that song. It does say that they sang and shouted for joy, and they praised God who flung into orbits all the galaxies that are beyond our comprehension. They praised Him who positioned the sun in just the right place. Any further away, we'd freeze. Any closer, we'd burn up. God knew what He was doing. They praise the great God who bedecked the night sky with billions and billions and billions of stars, and He's given every one of them a name, according to the psalmist. There's more stars than there are words in all the languages of all the earth put together. That's no problem to God. And He never calls them the wrong name either. And He never says, like mamas and daddies do, calls all the list of the kids until they get to the right one. No, God calls them right the first time. They praise the God who made planet Earth our home, a suitable place, and the only place in the wide universe suitable to live. That is, except heaven. Well, that's the first song, the song of creation, the song the angels sang long ago. Now we go from Genesis to Exodus, and we want to think about another occasion of great celebration. And we're going to turn there in just a moment, but that's when God's people crossed over the Red Sea. You know, they had been in Egyptian bondage for a long time, and God brought them out through Moses, and they no more got out of Egypt and crossed the wilderness, but they come to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them, and they don't know what to do, and they cry out to God, and He says to stand still and behold my salvation, and God miraculously parts the waters of the Red Sea, and they all went through on dry ground. And the Egyptians, the same to do, all perished in the waters there of the Red Sea. What a notable day. And when God's people all got on the other side of the Red Sea, they started to sing because God had brought them through, and God had protected them and worked in their behalf and defeated their enemies. A day of deliverance and freedom. And so they began to rejoice. I think it's interesting that Moses is singing, and that's the first song recorded in the Bible, Exodus 15. And as our Sunday school lesson, Moses said, Lord, I can't even hardly talk, but here he is singing in Exodus 15. He just couldn't help it. Sometimes when God does something big for you, you just can't help it. You might be by yourself, you might be in church, you might be driving down the road, but it'll bubble up in you and you'll just have to sing unto the Lord. And I wish we would sing unto the Lord anyway. It would help us all to remember we're singing unto the Lord. Some people think that singing is a performance and you're just singing for people. We're singing unto the Lord first and foremost. And it's for the edification of God's people, of course. But we're doing it for the Lord. Let's turn and read a little bit of that song, please. Exodus 15. What a wonderful song it is. And I'm only going to read a few verses of it. Verse 1, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. And archaeologists have found the chariot wheels of the Pharaoh and the Egyptians. We didn't need that historical and archaeological proof. We believed it anyway, but now archaeology has confirmed this account. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare for Him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. This is a song. Verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. There was a famous black preacher who used that as his text, and he said, the Lord is a man of war, and you're not going to win against Him. I'd like to hear that, wouldn't you? Jump down to 10 or 11. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee? Glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders. 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. That's a song. That's a song of Moses. And we'll hear more about that in just a few moments. But it was an occasion of deliverance, the parting of the sea, and it's time to sing when God delivers you from temptation, when He brings you out of a trial, when He does for you what you can't do for yourself. Then it's time to stop and say, thank God You're working in my behalf. You're knowledgeable of my situation. And I give you praise and I give you thanksgiving. We take everything for granted these days, don't we? We ought to count our blessings and name them one by one. And we ought to give God the credit where credit is due. It's time to sing when God makes a way for you where there is no way. And He can do that. I like the story of Dallas Theological Seminary. Back when they started in the 20s, they almost closed within a very short period of time. Great need. And they were all gathered praying. They were going to foreclose that day. And the staff and faculty were all praying for God to intervene some way and somehow. Harry Ironside was among those who were praying, and he said, "Lord, you know our need. You laid it on the hearts of men to start this Bible seminary. And Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. And Lord, you can do it." As they continued to pray, there came a knock at the door. And this man had sold two railroad cars full of cattle, and he gave them a check. And the secretary came in and knocked on the door, and Dr. Schaefer came to the door. And he stopped the men before the prayer meeting was ever done and said, "Looky here, God done sold them cattle, and here's what we need." And the need was met, and they've been carrying on now for 85 years. God can make a way when there is no way, and He'll do it in such a way that you'll know He did it. And when that happens, it's time to sing. It's time to rejoice and praise His name. Well, there's countless other examples in the Bible about singing. David appointed hundreds and thousands of people to sing at the temple. And there were choirs, and it's always been a part of God's work. Remember one time when Jehoshaphat sent out the army to do battle? The choir went with them. And even armies today know that if you want the soldiers to do their best, you need to have some music. They used to have bugle boys, and they'd have men who would sing because it encourages and lifts the spirit of the soldiers. And in this warfare that we're fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil, we need the songs. I guarantee you, you listen to good gospel songs on a daily basis, it will improve your outlook and spirituality. There will be a noticeable difference. You listen to the wrong kind of songs, it will discourage you, tear you down, make you want to quit, and make you mean. That's right.
Yes, sir.
I wish the church knew what the world knew, the power of music. Do you know what the police do to control crime? In big cities, they play the music of symphonies and orchestras because music can calm people down. And the wrong kind of music can make people want to go out and rob banks and shoot one another. That's right. And songs about the highway to hell make people act like they're going to hell. So music's powerful. And there's many times in the Bible when they sang. And isn't it a very interesting truth that the longest book in our Bible is a song book? The book of Psalms is a song book. They sang every one of those in the Old Testament times. I'm sure the New Testament churches sang, all the churches Paul started. I guarantee you, if we had gone back to those early churches and sat down, there would have been preaching, there would have been praying, and there would have been singing. And they'd have took up an offering. I guarantee you those things were in every New Testament church, and they've continued to be so down through the years, and you'd be surprised how many churches do not have those basic elements in their worship. The Bible tells us to speak to ourselves, encouraging one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Psalms, that's the book of Psalms. Hymns, old songs without a chorus. Spiritual songs. Songs that are spiritual, not carnal, that glorify the Lord and uplift the spirit of man. You can. It doesn't take you too long to know if a song is spiritual or not. I mean, when I'm listening to Joy FM, and if you're from Joy FM and you hear this, I don't take this back. Some songs you know within 10 seconds that they're worldly, they're carnal, and I just turn them off. If they sound like rock music, it doesn't matter if the words are Christian. If the music is rock, the whole song's rock. Now, why don't they have enough discernment to know what's good and bad? There's something bad wrong in our Christianity today that we can't discern good and bad music anymore. And that has been the devil's foot in the door. I've seen it in the last 20 years that the wrong kind of music has been the wedge that has opened up the greatest churches in America to compromise. Well, they sang as they got through the Red Sea. There's 2 million of those Jews, and that sure would have been some singing, wouldn't it? 2 million people praising God that He brought them through the Red Sea. But we want to come now to the last reference to song in the Bible. It's not the last song, but the last time the Bible mentions singing is right here in Revelation 15 that I read to us. The context is the tribulation period, and these are the tribulation saints singing in heaven, because they're saying, Lord, You've given us the victory over the beast, over His name, His number, and His mark. And it's their anthem, their song. How did they get the victory over the beast? The same way you and I get the victory over the devil and sin today, by faith in Christ, by salvation. That's how. Did you notice in verse 3 that they're actually singing two songs? What are they? And they sing the song of Moses. That's the one we read in Exodus 15. And the song of the Lamb. Alright, the song of the Lamb, that's Revelation chapter 5. That's our song. The rapture is in Revelation 4, the judgment seat of Christ, Revelation 4. Then Revelation 5, you and I, the glorified church, the blood washed, are singing, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory, honor, and praise. Lord, You've redeemed us to God by Your blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation and people. So these tribulation saints who came to faith in Christ during the tribulation, put to death, now they're in heaven, they're singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Because they got saved the same way you got saved. There's only one way to get saved from the last man to get saved, way back to Adam. There's only one plan of salvation, and that's faith in the shed blood of an innocent substitute. So they'll sing the song of the Lamb, we'll sing the song of the Lamb, and everybody that ever gets saved will sing the song of the Lamb. Wow. Worthy is the Lamb. You've redeemed me by Your blood. I know this is uniquely the tribulation saints, but they're singing our song. And I think it's going to be a wonderful occasion when the angels have to step aside when we start to sing, because they can't join in our song. You go home and read Revelation 4 and 5, and it just gives you the picture of heaven and hundreds of millions of people, and people singing and shouting and rejoicing. And every once in a while, it'll say that the angels will say, Amen, and we're in the praise God. But you know, they've never been saved. And when we start singing in about, Lord, You died for me, You shed Your blood for me, they're going to have to stand back and watch you and me sing. That's right. We were at the graduation yesterday, and the graduates were all marching through, and on both sides was the faculty, and they were all marching through, and the faculty was watching. And that reminded me of heaven when the church comes marching in, and all the angels standing at attention, and we start singing. I guarantee you, when you get to heaven, you're going to do a whole lot more than nice place. No, you're going to say, praise God! I never imagined. And then when you see Jesus and He welcomes you home, I tell you what, it's going to be more than we've ever imagined. And we're going to sing, and even if you can't sing down here, you will be able to sing up there. That's right. You just wait till we unite our voices with the blood washed of all ages and praise Him who gave His life for us. Such singing you've never heard, the millions praising His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the quietest world you'll ever live in, I'll tell you that. And the Bible says to rejoice always. It says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And it never ceases to amaze me that God does more for us, but we praise Him the least and the slowest. Everything God made praises Him. Yes, the lightning writes His name in the sky and letters of fire, and the thunder declares His glory, and all the trees on their summits wave their branches to God the Creator. But man is shamefully and sinfully silent. And we are the exception of this universe. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these hold their peace, the rocks and the mountains will cry out. And God's going to get His praise one way or another. And I don't want Rocky Face Mountain to have to praise God for me. Because God's done more for me than He's ever done for any old rock. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:15, we're far behind. And thanking and praising the Lord. Why do we sing and testify and love the Lord and serve the Lord? Because of these things I just mentioned. Because He's the Creator. Because He's made a way for us. He's mindful of us. He's working for us behind the scenes. Because He saved us, He is saving us, and He will save us. He has saved us from sin's penalty, is saving us from sin's power, will save us from sin's presence. I'm saved, being saved, and will be saved. Amen. I'm saved, but my body's not saved yet. But it will be one day redeemed. And won't it be grand to be perfectly, completely, and entirely saved? And not even be able to sin again. That's why we praise God for past and present and future works. Our burden bearer, redeemer, creator, sustainer, and way maker. That's why we praise Him. That's why we love Him. And thank God the song will never die. And we'll never adjourn and we'll never sing the last verse. Amen. Sounds interesting to me. We're going to a great meeting. Amen. There'll be no preaching there because everybody will be right. And there'll be no praying there, no requests. We won't need anything. But there will be singing. There will be rejoicing. If you told that to a sinner out in the world, that wouldn't mean a thing to him or her. The very idea of being with the Lord and praising Him forever does not appeal to the sinner in the slightest degree. But it should mean something to God's people. That's right. The hallelujahs will never cease. Never. Thank God, never. I like the song that says, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all. Jesus came the first time to die. He's coming back the next time to take over. First time as a lamb, the next time as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I'm not sure exactly when, but there will be a coronation day promised, typified in the Old Testament. And one day Jesus will wear the crown that He deserves. John said, I saw Him crowned with many crowns. Revelation 19. His vesture dipped in blood. His name, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And I'm glad tonight He's our Creator. But far more than that. All He had to do was speak to make us. But to redeem us, He had to suffer and bleed and die. Nobody ever loved you like He did. Nobody's ever done for you and me what He's done for you and me. If anybody ever deserved our love and allegiance, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, He demands it. But more than that, He deserves it. It's only right. He richly deserves our praise and our song today, tomorrow, and forevermore. The devil had a shackle, had iron on our heels, but I'm glad Jesus set us free. I'm glad I'm redeemed tonight. I'm glad I know who I belong to. I'm glad I know where I'm going. You can take a lot on the journey when you know where you're going. Amen. Let's bow our heads, please. We're going to pray. They're going to get us a song. Please. And now, dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to open the Bible again, to look at these occasions of great joy. And Lord, I'm glad that we can praise you for your mighty acts. Lord, you have worked in our behalf as you did for the children of Israel of old and done for us. Lord, so many things we could not do of ourselves, you've made a way for us. You've parted the sea. We thank you, Lord, that we sing the song of redemption now, even as we shall sing it one day in your presence. Lord, I pray that we'll take time, Lord, to be aware of your goodness and greatness and not rob you of the glory that you deserve. Help us to be more thankful. May our hearts overflow. We say with the psalmist, "My cup runneth over." We thank you for being so good. And now, Lord, use us this week. Give us opportunity. Give us compassion. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Save lost sinners and let your churches go forward. Cleanse us with the blood. Let us walk in fellowship with you and with one another day by day. Give us the victory over anything that hinders us. May we more and more bear the image of Christ. Lord, we anticipate seeing you and bowing at your feet. But Lord, we're not going to wait till we get to heaven to praise and thank you. Lord, we want to do that now with every breath, with every ounce of energy within us. We say with the psalmist, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And now, Lord, guide us in your will, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Let's stand for a hymn of invitation, please. Let's stand.
352.
352. Let's sing.